For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship.
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye. Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown.
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Man, I love that feeling when your team is on the precipice of clinching a championship, and you've got tickets to the game, and you get to plan all around it, and all the excitement that you feel, and it's a nervous excitement that I can imagine that the Boston fans are feeling today as you head back into, you know, there are moments where I want to try to call it the Fleet Center, which is what that building opened as. I'll just call it the Garden, because why wouldn't you? As well as Boston played in the first three games, and as impressive as they were, that's how unimpressive they were in game four. And I'd be a little nervous if I was a fan for the Boston Celtics today, with some nervous anticipation of some crazy night with partying and who knows what happens in a giant city like that whenever a team wins a championship. But I'd be so nervous, too, knowing that there is no way that you want to let the momentum. One win is just one win. Now, that stops a losing streak, and so who knows what happens after that, but it's only one win. You start getting a couple of victories, you go back into your home building, and then you start to think anything can happen. I'd be really nervous as a Boston fan today.
Absolutely. You know, Kristoff is probably out. If you're Boston, the thing you have to make sure you do is get back to basics on the defensive end. Understand getting back. Dallas is going to try to fast break a little bit more, but Boston knows that. It's still Boston's to lose, and the thing that scares you is, you know, that there are two Hall of Famers. You know, not that Luka and Kyrie are necessarily in the Hall of Fame yet, but potentially that they could be. I think Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown have a potential to be Hall of Famers as well. And, you know, Al Horford would be right there on the borderline, kind of like a Draymond Green. You know, Draymond Green wishes he was as good as Al Horford. If Al Horford would have played at Golden State, 100, no question about it, he's a Hall of Famer. Al Horford, man, you want to talk about smart, making the right. That's just what Boston's MO is. They're smart and they make the right play. You don't speed them up. And they don't mess. They don't hurt themselves like in tennis where you have unforced errors. They just don't. They don't force it a lot, and they get the open shot. It's still an uphill battle if you're Dallas.
Trying to remember. I don't remember where did the when the Red Sox came back from down 3. Wouldn't it be interesting if it would happen to that city in a different sport too? Yeah, the game, because I was at game seven of that series in 2004, which was at Yankee Stadium, which means that the Yankees would have taken the lead 2-0 in their home ballpark. So it goes exactly the same way. The Yankees led 2-0, then 3-0 in Boston. Remember this, Dave Roberts is on first base. They're down to their final out. He steals second at like a quarter inch ahead of the throw. Gets knocked in. They end up winning it. They end up winning 4 in a row. And it goes the exact same way that it's going in the NBA Finals right now. Although it's never happened. It's the only time it ever happened in Major League Baseball. So I always say it never happens until there's a first. Is there any way that this Boston team can't, or no, I shouldn't say can't, anyway, that they would lose 4 in a row? Have they lost 4 in a row at any point this year? I don't think they've lost too many games. I would imagine they haven't been 4 in a row at any point.
They've lost 3 total playoff games so far this year, so they're still not out of it that way. Yeah, it's all on Boston. All the pressure's on Boston. Everything that comes with it is, I mean, you're trying to hang that 18th banner in that storied franchise. Those 4 guards they got. Yeah, Phil, if something happens, you know, you have a twisted ankle, something happens to one of your stars, then yes, Boston would really be in trouble. If something would, but if all 4 of those guards they got, I just don't see it happening. I think that it, more likely Boston winning by 17 tonight than going back to Dallas.
Well, in 2 of the games, they've been up 33 and 22 points, only to allow a big comeback to get Dallas within, I think, a point or 3 points each time. So it's the lead. It's the big lead that we've been used to seeing. Boston, by the way, favored -6.5, -260 on the BetSarazen app. And I also am here to tell you, and I've told you from before the College World Series started, that my team favorites to play in the finals are Tennessee and Texas A&M, and I've seen absolutely nothing to convince me otherwise over these first couple of days. Matt, you look really disturbed right now. What have you just seen in this Euro match?
Trosser just gets a steal, and you got Lukaku on the side, and he throws it into row Z. It's like, bro, I know Lukaku has the worst touch in professional football, but he's still a center forward, and he leads Belgium in the most goals ever for that country. Wide open at the side of the box, and Trosser does not throw him the ball, man. Oh, my goodness.
And sounds like a big whiff. You look disgusted there for a moment.
Man, Phil, you don't know soccer. I mean, you know sport enough.
I don't know soccer, though.
If you're watching this, you could have seen the play. You saw everybody in the whole country saw right where to go with the ball right there. And it's only bad because he kicked it over the goalpost. But golly.
So you're telling me an entire country just groaned all at once?
Oh, they're upset. I mean, you can't really take guys off the field and sub them back in, but ooh, man, that was, he might make up for it later. There's 21 minutes gone, so he might make up for it later.
I wish I would have screenshotted the FaceTime there. Just the look, I don't know if I had ever seen that.
They
look
showed
on your
the
face
replay.
Before.
So the goalkeeper, Kevin De Bruyne, goes up and the goalkeeper hits the ball. They get a steal. Trosser, there's a guy wide open, and Trosser just one time tries to kick it in instead of just settling down and kicking it to your partner over there. But
what I saw on your face was, how did you not get it to him? I had no idea what it was that you were watching. I knew it was the soccer match, but I had a feeling. I had a feeling what it was.
It was an elementary play. It was a third grade type of play. That's how easy. That's when you're like, whoa.
All callers, come in on the McLarty Daniel hotline, 877-377-6963. Cecil's in today first. Hey, Cecil, hope you had a good weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. I hope y'all did too, all the fathers.
It was good.
I'm really hoping Dallas Duke win. I would really like to see a game 7 because I just don't want it to end.
Well, you're a basketball
fan.
But
I do like Dallas. Yeah, I like Dallas. I mean, I wanted them to win. I hate to be wrong, but hey, that's the way it is. I figure it would be actually 2-2. If Dallas just don't fall behind and, you know, and have to try to fight their way back in, because we did that a lot. Arkansas did that a lot last few seasons. You get way behind, then you almost win, you come back. But that play, I don't remember. I think it was Wright who was going up, or whoever was going up. It was a goal 10 and a foul. And the guy had his hand on his back. Everybody saw that play. They did not call that play. It was a five-point game, and it was about 57 seconds to go in the game when that happened. So if he would have got the N1, it would have been a one-possession game regardless if he would have just got the two. And it would have been a one-possession game. You just never know, you know, because the momentum changes. I think that after Dallas got – I mean, Boston got behind, way behind in the first half. They kind of just let off the gas and say, hey, we'll take it home and win it, you know. But I don't know. Like I said, you never know, though. I'm just hoping Dallas win and take it to another game and make it to the seven.
Who do you you think, Derek Jones or P.J. Washington, has to have the better game? Or is it more of an effort? Or who's the role player you think for Dallas has to step up tonight?
I think Jones should, if he step up and get involved, you know, more, they'll have more like a more, you know, the ball movement, and that way they won't be so focused down on Kyrie, because that's the only game Kyrie had a good game. They've been shutting Kyrie down. But the thing about it is you have to, it got to be at least four players out of five involved for scoring. Boston's very balanced out. I saw how everybody was scoring double digits, 17, 18, 21. All of them had double-digit numbers, and that balances out. That balances out. And if Dallas can do that, other than just Luka scoring, and Luka's going to have to lighten up on the basketball, man. I mean, I like Luka, man. He's great. But he holds the ball too long, and that gives the defense time to lock down, shut the combination to lock. You know, because he's just dribbling. Other than passing the ball in the NBA, man, you know this. You played college, you played all the sports. You know you have to move fast. Passing in the NBA is fast.
Ball moves faster than player. You're right.
When you're just dribbling, man, you're giving them too much time to lock down.
I'm with you.
But I'm gonna hang up, man. You know I love listening to y'all. Listen to y'all every day, man. If I don't call in, I'm on top of the game.
Cecil, do you?
Hey, man, I'm definitely gonna surprise y'all with a new drop banner for y'all when y'all travel and stuff like that. It's gonna be nice. I already done started a page. I haven't started putting it together, but you'll get it soon. I promise.
That sounds.
Y'all
good.
Have a blessed day, man.
All right, Cecil. I appreciate you, man. I was going to ask. I he might have told us at some point. I don't know who his NBA team is. If he's got one, it might be Oklahoma City because he's a Fort Smith guy. But he sounds like me when it comes to baseball season and the World Series. I don't have a dog in the fight. I just want to see the thing go seven games. The thing is, though, is this a series that deserves to go seven games? It felt like it when the series started. I mean, I guess it's a. I've had three games that finished within 10 points. But teams have gotten out to big leads in order to, you know, blow a little bit of a big lead. I don't know if they'd say this has been a classic series yet, but if you get to seven games from a 3-0 lead, yeah, that'll make it classic.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have ball movement with Luka. The thing is, it's not as much as it was with Melo. If you remember Melo, I'm taking a Tracy McGrady. There's certain guys that, man, they just have to pound the rock. They have to have the ball in there. If you pass the ball, you know what? It'd come back to you. And Luka knows that. Instead of being the one to make that, if you can swing the ball around, pass the ball, and then what that does is that makes the defense move and it creates a different angle. When they can just focus in on somebody that's bringing up the ball and then you're staying there, it's a lot easier to play defense.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Brandon texted in about the crazy scene above the A&M dugout late at night. I guess that was early Sunday morning. The Texas A&M win over the Florida Gators was delayed from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock because of a strong storm cell that had come through the Omaha area. And I think they'd had a tornado watch as well. So the game doesn't start until well after 10 o'clock. And in the mid-innings, there's a couple of A&M fans that run down. They're not sitting behind the Florida dugout. They just run up to it. The cameras are right there to pick all this up. And they started, I mean, look, there's a difference between heckling teams and heckling managers and heckling players and coaches and umpires and bringing up stuff that involves death, which was probably going way over the line for everybody that was involved in it, which I think also included most A&M fans. If you're not aware of the story, there was a Florida Gators bat boy that was murdered by his father, and there were some rumors of inappropriate relationships involving the Florida head coach, and those two fans thought that was the right time to lean over the dugout railing and hurl everything they possibly could about that story right into the Florida bench. So I saw the Omaha, was it the Omaha Police Department Twitter account basically posted these two guys' photos on their account and told them not only are they no longer welcome at the College World Series, but they're no longer welcome in the city of Omaha, which getting yourself banned from a city when you were at a baseball game is a rather impressive feat.
Is that as bad as those people? I say people. I don't know how many people it was that when they toilet paper, they poisoned the trees at War Eagle, and that was pretty bad.
That was one guy that did it too.
One guy.
Well, it's on the same. I'd put it on the same same tree. Maybe not the same branch, but it's definitely on that tree. It's unfortunate that that's the thing that's probably remembered most from that ball game, because it was another amazing finish. The first four games of the College World Series were all walk-offs or one-run games. Amazing. I mean, Tennessee came from down 9-4 against the Seminoles in the first game or in the game on Friday night, and win it on a walk-off by Dylan Dreiling, a base hit in forget which inning it was, but it was nine innings, that's what it was. They didn't go into extras, but I thought they were about to. Florida State feels that they got screwed by a check swing call one pitch before Blake Burke ties the game with a base hit up the middle. They probably were screwed. I thought that was a swing the moment that I saw it. But I also know that Florida State put in a center fielder in that inning for defensive purposes. And there are a couple of balls that he probably could have caught but did not catch. And the check swing doesn't go into anything of, you know, blowing the first four runs of what was a five-run lead. But I think Florida State did get screwed. Tennessee took advantage, but it also does show, and I've said this quite a bit, when it comes to the College World Series, sometimes you got to be lucky and good at the same time. I think Tennessee was both that day.
Who plays today?
Today is day two of bracket two. So there's an elimination game with Florida State and NC State. Ooh. At 1 o'clock. And then A&M and Kentucky play the winner's game. And the loser is to go into an elimination Tuesday tomorrow.
A&M, Kentucky, are they pretty similar when you think, like, they both have bats? Who has the best arms at if you were to say Kentucky and A&M?
I'd say A&M. And A&M's got Ryan Prager ready to go today. It's one of the surprises about the way that Schlossnagel had lined his rotation up is he started a pitcher, Justin Lampkin, in their first game that had not pitched at all in the NCAA tournament. He's a veteran. I think he'd been around 2 or 3 years, a good pitcher, and he went out and he shoved. He was incredible. So they've got Ryan Prager, who is their ace. He's the guy that matched Hagen Smith basically pitch for pitch for about 7 innings in the game that went to 10 innings, and Arkansas lost it 1-0. So they're ready to go. But this to me, I mean, I've told you from the start, it's going to be Tennessee and Texas A&M, and I don't know who's going to win this one today, but I also agree with you, Matt. Kentucky and A&M, they're somewhat similar in some of the things that they do. Now, A&M isn't as much of a base stealing, bunt them, get them over, get them in kind of a team, but they can play that style of ball. But they've got big bats. They've got big bats. And their right fielder, Jace Laviolette, was the guy that made the catch up against the fence, robbing what would have been a go-ahead home run from Florida in the 9th inning. And he might be, as good as Kentucky is, Laviolette may be the best player on the field for this one. But I'm just here to tell you, Matt, I think we have to get ready for another first-time College World Series champion, because it's going to be one of those three teams.
I'll trade a championship for Kentucky. We'll wait another year for our basketball championship, but Kentucky can get theirs, and then we'll get next year basketball, and then we'll just call it good, and we won't argue too much about it.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those three teams. I mean, they really are. And I mean, independent of Florida State got screwed over, they still have to try to get out of a loser's bracket, which would also mean they're going to have to play Tennessee again. And I don't see Tennessee losing in that bracket. I could see them losing one or two games to either A&M or Kentucky. But I don't think they're going to lose another one in that bracket right now. They're just the chance to beat them was the check swing. It was the check swing. And I thought on first glance, I can't say obvious, because there really isn't. You know, people will have their own definitions about what a check swing is and whether the guy went or whether he didn't go. And there's nothing in the rule book that tells you how you decide what's a swing and what's not. It is one of the main gray areas in all of sports. You know, it literally is up to the interpretation of the umpire. And I could see maybe where he thought he didn't go, but then again, I don't. So, yeah, you got to be lucky to be good, too. Just think of how lucky Oregon State was in 2018. Now, they were great. That's a great team. They got 3 guys on that team that are playing Major League Baseball right now, maybe more than that. But they got lucky, and they took advantage of that moment. That's what you got to do, because, you know, part of it is the ability to take advantage of another team's mistakes or mistakes by officials. Which go along with it, right? I mean, you just have to accept there are going to be missed calls in every game. You don't have to like it, but you kind of do have to accept it. And I don't think any Florida State fans accepted that, because they got, in their eyes, just think of the conversation they were having 7 months ago, December.
They got left out, yeah.
Getting left out for an SEC team when they were undefeated, right? So, I mean, this plays right into the Florida State narrative of, can we just get out of this league right now? Or do they really think that if they were an SEC team, they'd have gotten that call? I think there are some fans over there that think they would have. It's too bad, though. It really was an amazing ball game, and it's been a great World Series. 877-377-6963 for calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Terry has given us a call. He's in Fort Smith. Hi, Terry. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I was saying over the weekend about this quarterback from Texas. He had committed to Baylor, but he flipped his commitment to Arkansas, and Arkansas signed him as a wide receiver. I just wanted to see if y'all knew anything, any details about this gentleman, and see what the possibilities are, you know, him contributing this upcoming season or next season.
Where was it? I hadn't followed as much on the football recruiting stuff over the weekend. Where was it that you saw this?
Well, I got a Samsung. It's on a Flipboard magazine that I look at. It has all the Razorback news, but he was committed to Baylor. He'll be a senior this year at some Texas high school, but
I've seen Arkansas got a kid to flip who's an offensive lineman from Baylor.
That's Cash what Courtney. I've seen most recently. Was Cash,
that's the one that Cash I Courtney. Saw. It's a kid named Cash Courtney.
Okay, that might be him, but I guess I got it all mixed up, but there's another one that he flipped his commitment to Arkansas because, you know, he's a quarterback in high school, but he's going, Bobby Petrino's going to use him as a wide receiver up here.
I hadn't read about him yet, but so that's somebody to look to look into.
Y'all are the guys that always go in depth on everything. So
is that
I appreciate
the 28-year-old? Was he a quarterback in high school?
No, he was. I think he was a receiver in high school. Yeah, no, I'm not exactly sure who it is that he's referring to, but I did read and brought him up. You know, Cash Courtney, the kid who's I think he's out of Carthage, Texas, was a commit to Baylor, and has now flipped his commitment to be an offensive lineman in Arkansas, but it sounds like Terry was referring to somebody else. 877-377-6963 for questions about anything that we can't answer. I think we might have to try to get give Danny a call or a text and check with him sometime, because you have had some commits recently for the football team. You got a defensive end commit from Texas. You got a defensive lineman who is committed from Georgia all over the weekend. So it has been committal season for some high school prospects for Arkansas over the last few days. So yeah, I think it might be time to get Danny West here on at some point.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Mike Irwin coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm excited because today is Paul Skeens Day, Reds Pirates 540. Might put that game on with one of the College World Series games at 6 o'clock. That'll be one that's worth watching, certainly. That is the winner's bracket game between A&M and Kentucky. And then tomorrow will be Elimination Tuesday with two teams headed home. I saw this... you know, there's this debate going on about the College Football Hall of Fame as to whether or not the rules they should look past the requirements for winning percentage for Mike Leach, because Leach, he's a little different than just, you know, like a football coach that coached games. He also invented a style of offense that
the air raid
fire, absolutely. So you know, you've got to win 60% of your games as a coach to be eligible, even considered, for the College Football Hall of Fame. And Leach finished his career at 596. So it's like maybe another win, one more win, one fewer loss, and he would have made that threshold, and I think he would have been a no-doubter. But
I wonder, did he play USC on any of those games that got vacated? Did he play LSU on any of those games that got vacated? Can you go back and look?
See, that's a really good question, Matt. And that goes into one of the things, the reason I brought this up. A vacated win, I don't think, is viewed as a win for the other team or that it takes away their loss, at least for the NCAA. But maybe in this case, they should look past it. But also, I mean, look, they've other halls of fame, and I don't know if the College Football Hall of Fame has done this, but Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame twice overlooked the rule that you got to be retired 5 years in order to be considered. Lou Gehrig died, they put him in. The year that Roberto Clemente died in the plane crash on December 31st, 72, they put him in. They didn't wait the 5 years. So, I mean, there is... there is precedence for not changing the rules, but appreciating that maybe the rules don't have to
be so rigid.
Exactly. Because, I mean, look, Leach died while he was a head coach right before a season started, or right before a bowl game. That's right. It was right after the regular season of 2022. And I think if it'd be, I haven't done the math on this, but he had 158 wins and 107 losses. Somebody out there can do the math because I'm just here talking. One more win. Let's say that he coaches them in the bowl game, wins, and then the heart attack. And then he's over 60%. He'd be eligible. To me, it's like, for the guy that invented an offense that caught fire and kind of like helped introduce one of the most exciting eras of college football, I would think you look past that. And that goes along with, talking about vacated wins, Matt, earlier this morning, Les Miles served LSU with a lawsuit for vacating 37 wins. And with that, his winning percentage went under 60%. He's not eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. So
who would be your choice then if you had just to pick between those two cats right there? Les Miles or Mike Leach? You know?
Who would you take?
Mike Leach. Mike Leach, no question. I don't have anything against. I think Les Miles was the coach at Oklahoma State before the guy that's still there now, you know, and then went on and he's done great things and good things. He won a national title and all that, but I think Mike Leach would be my choice.
I think it'd be my choice too. I think, well, they both entertain you. It'd be a fun, really interesting conversation if you could have gone in on it. But yeah, they vacated 37 wins from 2012 through 2015. These were level one violations levied at LSU. And I remember this came out of, these wins were vacated, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, because there were also some other violations that came along with this investigation. You remember Odell Beckham handing out money on the field after their national championship? That also was part of this.
I mean, if you're
coaching, that was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I see. If you're coaching Odell Beckham, you gotta tip your hat to Les Miles, because coaching Odell Beckham couldn't have been easy. He's uber talented, but he's a little bit of a look at me prima donna type. But yeah, I mean, man, uber talented.
Oh, man. And then there were some violations under Ed Ogeron that came out at the same time. But I think the biggest ones were under Miles, and that's where LSU, and I think it was LSU was forced to vacate the wins by the NCAA, but it's LSU and the National Football Foundation that is getting, that is being served the lawsuit for Les Miles, whose winning percentage is 597. One thousandth of a decimal point higher than Mike Leach. All right, let's go to the McLarty Daniel hotline. Charlie's here with us. Good afternoon, Charlie. Hope you had a great weekend. What's going on?
Man, it was great. I hope you did too, Phil. I hope your Father's Day was awesome.
It was awesome, yes. Thank you.
Well, that's great. So you're telling me you have to have a .600. You got to be at least a 60% win percentage,
right,
to qualify?
Yeah, just to be considered. And then you have to be nominated by one of the schools that you coached.
Well, I'm like you guys, man. For a guy that, you know, now listen, I am not a big fan of the air raid offense, man. I mean, it's just, I don't believe in throwing the football that many times, because I think when you throw the ball that many times in the air, some things can happen. But for a guy to invent an offense like that, and absolutely, this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you're right, Phil. I mean, heck, he passed away, what, right there before the bowl game, and he couldn't coach in that game. And if he'd have won it, he'd have got the 60. I mean, yeah, I'm with you. This guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And if I had to pick who I would take out of those two guys 100%, it's definitely Mike Leach. And you're right. They both have unbelievable. They're both funny. Well, Mike Leach is funny as heck to me. I mean, I've watched a lot of his videos of his post-game interviews over the years. He's something. Was it Alyssa said last week? Now, Phil, correct me if I'm wrong on this, and I may be. Florida State got beat, and so they played out of the elimination bracket. That was a heck of a game between them and Tennessee. But
oh, man, that was a great game, yes.
It was a spectacular game, and I was, like, sitting there watching. I was glued in, and I'm not even – not a fan at all of either team, but I was glued in. And I will say, you know, Florida State, I did not know this. Has it always been like that where there's this – if you lose, there's a day in between, even when you – I thought –
Yeah, that's how it's been. Yeah, that's the way the College World Series has been set up. What was the year that they moved the the finals to a best of three and kind of, you know, you start over and it's back to a double elimination again? I think that was back in 2001 or 2002. You don't have the day off in regionals or the Supers, but you do get, because it's essentially two tournaments being played on the same ballpark with just two games each day.
Well, and it helps the team if you lose. I mean, that first game, I mean, I would hate to be the team to lose that first game, but at least you get another day. And then now they don't have to play today, right? They battle North Carolina tomorrow, and if they win, they
That's
move
right.
on.
Tennessee is off today, and then they get the loser of Florida and of they get the loser of
the winner,
Florida State, North Carolina.
Yeah. So, and Tennessee is still playing. They haven't lost yet, right? They haven't lost a game?
No, they've won two in a row. They're 2-0.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're going to be tough to beat. But I'm excited to see how this thing goes. I know Courtney's down there writing, and Alyssa was going to go if Florida State made it. So that'd be cool to see them play. I don't know if that could even happen. But
heck, we'll have Alyssa on tomorrow. It would be 12:15. It would be 45 minutes before her team takes on North Carolina, where the loser goes home. Man, I feel for Florida State, too. You know, they build this big lead against Tennessee. Thanks, Charlie. They build this big lead against Tennessee. And it's like you had to have felt that lead starting to slip away. The next thing you know, you get screwed with a check. Well, it's not even just that. They put in a kid in center field because he's a defensive replacement for the ninth inning. And I watched a couple of balls go right over his head. Catches that he could have made. I'm not going to say sure. I think one of them he should have made. Got himself turned around. This is the reason he was put in the ball game. You make that catch, we're not even worried about the check swing that everybody's arguing about. So I'll always say, I mean, look, the game should have been over. I think Florida State should have won. But there are about three or four other things that also lead to where that moment it turns out as important as it was. You can't just blame the umpires about it, unfortunately, if you're a Florida State fan. You got to look yourself in the mirror a little bit, too, about that. Four more wins would have put Leach over 60%. So he would have needed the bowl game win, even if they would have counted, because they beat 2022 Mississippi State beat Illinois in the ReliaQuest Bowl. That's Brett's team. So they would have needed three more wins outside of that to get over 60%. I just say, just not give them the wins, just make an exception.
The thing about the air raid and what it did, it gave the little guy a chance, because you saw what Michigan did. You saw how Alabama, you think of these teams the last two decades that have been winning national championships. They have the best front line. They have the best offensive line, defensive line. They control the line of scrimmage. So having an air raid attack on offense, it's a quick passing game. It allows you to kind of neutralize that and get the ball outside in space to some of your guys, but you got to have a couple guys that can do it. But that's what it did. It just kind of gave you a chance, because Mike Leach's team couldn't play that style of football. You couldn't just run up. There's only a certain fuse that get those guys that are going to play on Sunday, and that's why it was. That was why it was so cool to watch.
It was almost to me like he just had to find a different way to win games, almost like a Moneyball Oakland A's thing.
Same,
playing a different game than everybody else, and just look at the teams that he had. Now he only had 3 years at Mississippi State, so who knows if it would have been a consistent winner or not. But he had a pretty consistent winning team at Washington State for 4 years. They averaged like 9 wins. Washington State. Texas Tech. I mean, he was an 8-9 win coach every single year. That's tough to do at Texas Tech.
Who do you have? Crabtree? Was that the receiver that, yeah, I mean, so you're able to get guys. Gardner missed you as his quarterback. It was, so he's able to get a couple guys, and you don't have to have the full lot. If you can just kind of pick out, hey, advantage here, kind of give you a chance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Hickey & Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hole Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, Mike, how was your weekend? How was the Father's Day?
Yeah, it was good. My youngest son's an NBA guy, and I told Matt before I don't watch too much, but he's a Mavs fan, and he was trying to convince me that, yes, no team has come from 0-3 down, but also no team has ever won it getting beat as bad as Dallas beat the Celtics the other night. So he's still positive. He thinks they're going to pull it off and come back and make history, so whatever.
Who's his, so he likes Dallas. What does he, when you talk to him, what does he say Dallas has to do to beat Boston tonight?
He just says they got to be more focused. You know, he was telling me, I'm not a big NBA guy, you know that, but I was just looking at it and I was going before this ever started. I just look, the Celtics are just too good. I mean, there's no way the Mavericks win this. And he was just mad at me, you know, oh, you're crazy. You know, he's like a typical fan, and so I just think he's trying to convince himself that they're going to make history, you know. I don't know, he didn't get anything specific on that, but I was just giving him a hard time. I don't really care one way or the other.
No, but you're right. It's up to Boston. If Boston shows up and they want to play and they're going to grind and play defense, I haven't seen Dallas be focused. And it's a weird thing to say, Mike. I haven't seen them be focused for an entire 48 minutes, and you would think, hey, we're in NBA Finals. We're going to give effort on the offensive and the defensive side and be focused for the entire game. And you saw a little bit of that early, and I think Boston just rested their guys.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is really true, but I was just trying to say to him, look, they may not have intentionally done this, but I'm sure now what the Celtics are thinking is, okay, this is cool. We'll just go back and win it at home, which is better than winning it on the road. You know, I don't know that's what was going on there, but, you know, it's possible.
I was a fan. So I used to be a big hockey fan. I remember the Pittsburgh Penguins, they played against the Chicago Blackhawks, the second of their back-to-back Stanley Cup championships. And, hey, they won the first one on the road in Minneapolis. So the next year, they're up 3-0 over the Blackhawks. And the fourth game is in Chicago. And I was one of them. I was like, I kind of hope they lose this game because I want to see what it's like when they win at home. You like, right. Do that at your own danger, though, because then it's like, I don't have any much hair to lose anyways. I'd be way too nervous.
Yeah, but guys, on the other hand, how wacky is this? And I assume these two guys are big A&M fans. These two Aggie fans,
gosh,
that are wearing the expensive Aggie polos. They probably came all the way up to watch this thing. And who knows, A&M might win a national championship. And they stupidly get themselves kicked out. My guess is they'll end up kicked out of all Aggie, sporting events from here on out. Because what they did was so over the top and so wacky, I don't think any average fan would even think about that. And I make fun of the Aggies a lot. I don't think this was an A&M thing. I think it was them. And I'm trying to figure out how dumb you have to be to do something that's going to prevent you from being able to watch what happens. They came all the way up here. That was a big win by A&M, especially with that catch in the ninth inning, and they don't get to see it. How stupid is that?
I think they got them. Those were probably Texas fans that just wanted it to reflect a certain way on A&M fans. But it does say, hey, if you've reached something that's too far out there for A&M, like, that might be the farthest anybody goes.
I've never seen anything like that. I'm not going to get into what they were doing, but it was bad. It was really bad. So bad that the game stopped. And as they were being kicked out of this place, they were trying to get into it with Florida fans as they went up the aisle to be kicked out. Oh, man. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, if I supported a team and I went all the way up to Omaha and I wanted to watch it, why would I get myself kicked out of the stadium?
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
But it's going to be one of the three SEC teams that are in the winner's bracket, right? I mean, yeah, try to predict baseball. You'll always be proven that you don't really know what you think you know. But come on. It's going to be Tennessee or it's going to be A&M in Kentucky. Right now, they look like they've looked like the cream of the crop from the start of the tournament, and they're just sort of looking like it so far in Omaha.
Yeah, most of the time when you get to 2-0 and you just need one more win to get into that championship series, that's what's going to happen. And the one outlier out there still might be Florida State because they're awfully good, and that was a controversial win or a controversial loss. And I could see them possibly coming back through the loser's bracket, but I think it's going to be a real contrast. Tennessee with their power and their home run hitting, and Kentucky with the way they move people around on the bases. I think that would be a great series to watch.
You think Kentucky beats A&M today? I think A&M is the better team because I trust their pitching a little bit more. Now, I know they're down one of their top relievers in Shane Sadeo, lefty, and down Montgomery, but they've got like four other first team All-Americans, and they've got the kind of pitching depth that you need. And we've like tried to discount Kentucky's pitching over and over again, and then we're proven otherwise. That is about as complete of a team, too. These teams are just great. Tonight's game ought to be great.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, they made a big deal out of this being an all-ACC, all-SEC College World Series field, and it's the only time it's happened except in 48 when it was a two-team College World Series. They played I think they had the NCAA baseball tournament for the first time that year, and they had two brackets. But a team emerged from either side of the bracket, and then they played the 3-game series, and that was a College World Series. After that, it expanded, and it's never been just two conferences. But the SEC is dominating so far. Again, the one ACC team that I think still possibly could figure out a way to do it is Florida State because they're awfully good, and they lost under some really weird circumstances.
Did you get a? We were kicking around this just a moment ago about Les Miles suing LSU for the 37 vacated wins. That drops his winning percentage under 60%, so he's no longer eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. He is suing LSU because of this. His winning percentage is just 1/100 of a decimal point higher than Mike Leach. And like, well, can you give Leach maybe four of Miles' wins? Because then he goes into the Hall of Fame, and it feels like he belongs, even though he doesn't have 60%. What do you feel about Leach and maybe like making an exception to these rules?
Well, I mean, I would do it because I'm a Leach guy. I mean, oh man, I mean that guy. And it wasn't just what he did as a coach, but it was just who he was as a person. I mean, that guy is so unbelievable. I mean, my buddy in Lubbock knew that I was a Leach fan, and Leach came in to sign a book deal. And he's in one of these bookstores, and there's like people lined up out the door. And he finally gets up there, and he starts telling him that he's buying this book for me and who I am, and would he sign the book? And he said Leach just started talking to him asking him about me and just going on and on and on. And the guy got embarrassed. He was like, you got all these people waiting. Maybe we ought to just move this along. He just, no. There's that story of him being on the telephone in his coach's office, and the guy calls, and he's around his other coaches, and he talks to this guy for 15 minutes. When he hangs up, they go, who was that? And he said, I don't know, it was the wrong number. He just was incredible.
Mike, have you been watching any of these Olympic trials, and what's kind of up with you this month of June?
I'm gonna wait till the Olympics to kind of, you know, to really start watching it a lot. The Olympics at one time was huge when I was a kid. I mean, it was just big, big, big. But you know what? With me and anybody around here knows this, I'm a speed guy. I like to watch the speed events. I'm not somebody who's gonna watch the marathon or, you know, the 1500 meters is okay, but I mean, I like the 100 meters. I like the 200 meters, and I think it just stops after that. I want to know who the fastest guy is. I've always been interested in Bob Hayes was my first big professional hero because he was so dadgum fast they had to invent a new defense to even cover the guy. And when I was a kid, I was a Willie Mays fan because he was so fast in the outfield. So all I want to know is who's going to win the 100 meters, who's going to win the 200 meters.
Well, we had a caller call in, I think it was in the first hour, talking about a little speed on this Arkansas Razorback team. He was a quarterback, and Phil, what did he run, a 21.7?
That's what it was, yeah.
Do you know anything about this kid, Mike?
No, I was just reading about it. You know, is he the one that was going to go to Army?
Zachary Taylor is his name.
Yeah. At that time, they said he was like 6'4", 170. Mm-hmm, okay, he's going to put on weight when he gets here. So that might slow him down some, but I am telling you, that is motoring. He's real close to running into the 19s. I mean, if he really worked on it, which he might not, because a lot of football players who are going to run track don't really do it.
Well, that's 4.3 speed if you're telling me that right there.
Yeah. I mean,
if you can do that,
yeah,
that's good.
It is. And so that's pretty exciting. And isn't he available this year?
Yeah, he's on the team roster. He's on the roster list right now.
Yeah.
He was committed to play at Army and is now, I guess he's on campus by now. If he's on the roster, he's got to be on campus.
I don't know. The Arkansas fans, if you go read about all this recruiting that's going on right now with football, man, they're just blowing it. Oh, these guys are terrible. Sam Pittman's fired. I guess Lindy Sports Magazine wrote an article in which they quoted three anonymous SEC coaches saying that Pittman's out before the season's over, and all the fans are just assuming that.
Do you believe those things? Do you believe that those are really SEC coaches, that they actually get real head coaches to tell them those things?
I don't. I just can't believe that. Why would you take the chance? I'm an SEC coach. Are you serious? I'm going to badmouth another guy like that? What if you recorded that and then ran it and said, well, he said it. I mean, I wouldn't do it. So I don't know if it's real or not, but I'm just telling you guys, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I was impressed with spring football. I've been impressed ever since they hired Petrino. You can't tell me that with a new offense and what they're doing and the way they reworked that offensive line and the running backs they've got. Now they've added some receivers, that this is not going to be a better offensive team. And I think if they'd been better offensively, the defense wouldn't have collapsed at the end of the year. I think those guys just gave up.
That's what it felt like, that's for sure. Last thing, you've been keeping up on the rumors about Texas baseball, and everybody's convinced they're going to get rid of David Pierce, and they're going to get as much money as they can possibly gather together and go after Tony Vitello, or maybe another sitting head coach in the SEC. And I wonder if it might be Jay Johnson that they might target or would go after. Do you see all the players LSU is losing into the transfer portal? They lost one of their top relievers yesterday, Javon Coleman. They lost the starting catcher today, Brady Neal. And it's like 12 or 13 players LSU was lost to the portal, and I wonder if some of these kids have seen writing on the wall.
Yeah, it could be. I tracked down somebody that knows Vitello pretty well, and what he told me was that when Vitello took the job at Tennessee, it was largely because of the AD that hired him. He liked the guy, and he said before he ever coached a game at Tennessee, that guy was fired. And he said he was always uncomfortable with the fact that he's the head baseball coach at a school where the guy that is the AD didn't hire him. And supposedly he has a really good relationship with the Texas AD. That didn't mean he'll take the job, but I've heard these rumors are going to offer him $3 million a year and a huge NIL budget and all this stuff. So now, the person I was also talking said money's not the big deal with Vitello. He's not married. He doesn't have kids. He's got enough to do what he needs to do. So he didn't know that the money part was such a big deal. He just said the idea that he would be working for a guy that he likes and the guy would be the guy that hired him might be enough to convince him.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.